That's a happy memory from the old days. The subject last week, we already started talking about the nusach of this bracha and the history of this bracha. Lamashinim, as we said last week, just to recap very quickly, is a controversial bracha in the extreme, and it's been changed over the years. And as far as we know, the original bracha was clearly directed at a specific group of people, the Judeo-Christians, and it seems to have done a good job on those guys. They don't seem to exist anymore. Except now it seems to all come back again, but I don't know, maybe we'll have to change the nusach back to what it was originally. That's an interesting thought, but the nusach has changed from what it was originally, which was Mushumadim, and then it went on to Notsrim. Now it's back to, now it's been changed to Malshini, whoever they are. People who inform us, right? The word Minim, by the way, is also controversial. The other thing which we're going to find this evening, which is controversial, the Gaon has a nusach. I just want to check it in the Siddur. He says, you don't say v'chol osei risha. You don't say all those who do evil should be destroyed. But he just says v'chol harisha. V'chol harisha. And here, it's v'chol harisha kregetove. Right? But you'll find in some Siddurim, it's osei risha. And this leads you to a very basic question. When you pray for the destruction of evil, do you pray for the destruction of the evil or the evil doer? Right? And this is a very famous... it's very philosophical. Yitamu chatayim and not choytim, the Gemara says. Right?
You're never upset with the person, you're upset with the act.
And this, of course, gets into the whole discussion nowadays with lots of very undesirable forms of behavior. This is the debate it's essentially the debate about Reform Judaism, it's the debate about homosexuality, it's about a whole bunch of things, all come under the same umbrella. Yeah, you tamu chatoim, but not the choytim. Yeah, you despise the way of life, but not necessarily the people who do this. Sorry?
The lamashinim.
Yeah, in which case?
Not right here. So you are saying.
That's we're going for them. But the question is, what exactly are we saying when we're doing v'chol arisha krega tovei, which is more severe, right? We're asking for something to disappear, to be destroyed. Malshinim al tikva is not asking for their destruction, just to say they shouldn't succeed in what they want to do. When you're actually looking for the destruction of something, what do you want to destroy? And if you think about it, on Rosh Hashanah, we actually say the same thing. So I presume he's got it here. We are supposed to rejoice. Yeah, right. I know, it's a challenge sometimes. What do we say on Rosh Hashanah? We say, this hasn't got it in here. I should have brought the matzah. Hang on a second, because we all know this. It always happens to me. Whenever you try and think of a tefillah, you can never remember it. But it talks about risha. I'm pretty sure it talks about evil as opposed to the evil doers. Kisavim memsheles zodom in haaretz. Right? But I've forgotten how it goes before that. We'll see. I think maybe there's a reference to it here as well. We'll come to this. The first thing we saw last time, which just to repeat very briefly. The Malshinim al Tisikva, what are Malshinim? Malshinim are people who want to ingratiate themselves to the local government. Okay? And therefore they're doing this for their own benefit. They do not want to accept upon themselves the yoke of heaven, as it were. They're not interested in benefiting the Jewish community. They want to benefit themselves. And by getting closer to the Rishus, to the power around them, they feel that will increase their influence and a whole bunch of things which we don't have to go far to actually see people, and presumably that's part of the deal. All right, you know, you ingratiate yourself by spreading information. And he says, and this is where we'll take it from: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines down, and it's the second word or abbreviation there. Okay. Therefore, he says, "Anachem is palulim." Therefore, we daven. This is what we ended off last week. They should have no hope in that which they hope to do. They should have no success, basically. They shouldn't succeed. All right? So that's the malshinim. The idea that, again, we're not asking for their destruction. We're just saying that what they plan to do should not succeed. Many, many stories of people who tried to do this in terms of the Jewish community. We've always been our worst enemy. And historically, you'll get cases of this again and again where, you know, Jews have done this and thought that they were better their situation. I'm just wondering in America today, you know, how many Jews are involved in these demonstrations. I fear many more than we'd like to admit. It's really quite frightening.
The whole page of the New York Times not too long ago was Jews against the war.
Jews against the war, yeah. And, you know, it's almost...
I Jews are liberals and Democrats.
That's,
typically, you know,
that's
it. We just started to become a little conservative. You know, yeah.
But most of the Jews still identify with the left.
Right.
And
it's only the from Jews who I think have turned Republican.
But the majority is still
growing
Republican.
Up, I think all even from Jews were Democrats.
Yeah, yeah. It's a concept which in for instance
the Republicans growing up were anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's
right.
It. That's what
our parents.
That's what they preached. Because in England, it really wasn't the same. A lot of Jews were conservative, which is essentially Republican. A lot of Jews were conservative. It was quite a phenomenon. I mean, Labour was more...
Dallas,
right.
You know, it was a Russia.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Henry Ford was a Russian.
Until Reagan, right. No one voted Republican.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
It was a turning point.
Right.
Different kind of mentality here. All right, let's go on. The Chol HaRisha. Now, this is the point that we just started off with. What is Risha referring to? All the evil. So he explains. Klal Ma Shechosha Pasuk Sheni. Remember, we started off with these psukim. I brought a Mishle with this week, so I'm very happy. Because now I can actually read the pasuk without having to make it up as I go along. And the pasuk, the psukim that he said this was based on. The second part, he started off, Odom Blial Ish Oven Holech Ikshus Peh. And that refers to the Malshinim. People who go in the way of their mouths, but it's Ikshus. It's going to lead them to stumble. All right? It's, whichever you translate Ikshus, it's a kind of stumbling block for them for themselves. The second pasuk, is Koretz Ba'enov Molo Baraglo Murabetz Boson. This is somebody who shows by the eye movements and by his foot movements or by his finger movements. Now, who is that? He says this is the Chol HaRisha, but he explains. What does that mean? Says the Rav Avraham Ben Agron, he says something interesting here. He says, Kalal Masha Choshab Pasuk Sheni. This includes the type of people in the second Pasuk, which I just referred to. It's Mishlei chapter 6, verse 13, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Where it says, Keretz Ba'enov Mola Baragva Merabetz Bosa. What does that mean? Kishoresh Rosha Hu Mi Shehasheket Lo Yucham. Right? The root of evil is somebody who cannot stand that things should be nice and quiet. He always got to make things lively. He's got to make things labor dick, as they say. He'll explain. Kemosha Kosov, as the Pasuk says, Varashoyim Kiyam Nigrash Hasheket Lo Yuchlu. Right? The Shoyim are like a raging sea. And silence is something which they cannot tolerate. All right, I always think of the Israeli Knesset. I think of this particular, you know, maybe think of this already again. Have you ever watched the Israeli Knesset? It's just unbelievable. Right, you know, good morning, Boker Tov, everybody. And immediately they're shouting at each other. What do you mean Tov? Mazel Tov. You know, they're having this incredible fight over saying good morning. Therefore, he says, okay, Yigrashu Meimav Refesh Vatit. What happens is that the waters get filled with mud and with clay. What does that mean? Kavanoso, what is the kavana here of the pasuk? Ki arshoim einam roim b'timah. This is referring to a type of person who is not necessarily evil by nature. Rak shetechunosam, what is their character? Shehasheket lo yuchul. They just can't tolerate things to be nice and calm, right? Ki yam nigrash meruch mitzuya, like a sea which is being whipped up by a regular wind. Your Orarim, this stirs them up, Machmas Kinosam, because of their kino, because of their jealousy. Al Kain Yigrashu Meima Refesh Batit. It stirs up all the schmutz from the bottom of the sea, all the mud and everything else gets whipped up. Kain, so what's the Nimsha? Alright, this is a nice allegory, but what is it referring to? Kain Derech HaRishoyim, the way of Rishoyim, Bavur Rov Tnuosam, because of their constant movement, their constant stirring things up. Yifgashu baroz chavrehem imlo yizdamnu lehem beheta osim is. They're always looking to do something bad to somebody else. And if they can't do it in a permissible way, then they'll do it in a forbidden way. Bahasogos gavulu kadome, by encroaching on a person's boundaries, right? And he says, v'choshav tenu osim, and it reckons here, it includes the movement, ba'avur she'asheket lo yuchlu. They can't stand to be sort of quiet. Everything is calm. Ad yivatsu kavanaseim, and until they actually carry out their intentions. Hem kortzim beineim, and in the meantime they squint their eyes, molim bragleim, and they shuffle their feet. Lemaher tachlis kavanaseim, to speed up the purpose of what they want to do. All right. This is the classic sort of, you know, the person who is a troublemaker. He may not necessarily be a bad person, but he can't stand things to be quiet. I think I've probably met people like this. You know, we have people like this.
Stirring up trouble.
Stirrers, right?
The opposite of an Aaron.
Sorry?
The opposite of an Aaron.
Opposite of an Aaron, yeah. I'm always thinking that when I was the rabbi of the community. This is the Rav's ultimate dilemma. You can never win. Because what you do is you make the mistake on day one by not knowing that you're making a mistake. What I mean by that, I had the experience, that guy was in hospital. I was 3 days into the job and I had three levias on the first 3 days. So I didn't know where I was coming or going. What do you say about a guy you never knew? All right, you know the famous story. What do you say about the guy? He married a grusha and he was a kohen. Right, he didn't keep Shabbos, didn't keep kosher. What do you say about Gala? I had a levaya like that on the second day of my second day of my tenure. Right? So I asked one of the rabbis in London, I said, what do we say about this guy? So he says, you know what you say? You say his brother was worse. So that's all you could say. A kind of zchus. It's a famous story. But that's what he told me. I said, thank you very much. Guy, he didn't have a brother. What am I going to do? The third day, somebody was in hospital. In London, you can get into hospitals which are like miles and miles away. It's not like here to Hackensack. This was like here to the end of Long Island, right? And I wasn't told for 5 days. And of course, because I wasn't there on the first day, and I'd only been in the job 3 days, right? That was it. This guy, for the rest of my 3 years in the job, he wanted to make trouble the whole time, right? If he could find a comment where he could actually make a disagreement with the rabbi, in public even more so, that's what he did. And it's the way it is, you know. It's almost guaranteed that this is the issue. Sorry, this guy. Thank God, this guy did have a brother. It's very tough. It's very tough. And you know, he wasn't a bad person, but there's something in human nature about that. You know, it's just a very strange thing. And you get this in community. Cock level. That's exactly. The scary thing is that's what we're referring to here. We're not very complimentary about these people, because what does it say? He says, Al Zer Omar. B'chol harisha, l'mish b'choseim, all the families of evil, whatever, wherever you find them, kerega yovedu. What does it mean, yovedu? It means machshav tam. In other words, their design, their thought should be destroyed. V'lo ta'aseni yedehem tushia, and shouldn't have any sort of success in what they do. Basically, what he's saying is, again, we're not looking for the destruction of the person, chas v'shalom. We're looking for the destruction of the kavanah, what they want to achieve should be suppressed and ideally pushed out of the window, destroyed completely. And then he goes on, V'chol oivei amcho, alright? And again, what is amcho? I just want to check that. V'chol oivecho, right? Some say oivecho and some say oivei amcho, which is interesting. Just think about the difference between the two versions. Oivecho, all your enemies, enemies of God. Oivei amcho, right? Enemies of your people, which is an interesting twist on the version. I don't know what to say. Is it the same thing? Oyvei amcho. And here you got chol oyvecho. So he has chol oyvei amcho. Let's see what he says. Chol oyvei amcho. Hu ma shechoshav shlom b'pasuk shlishi. This is the third pasuk. I'll just read the pasuk. Tapuchos b'livo choresh ra b'chol eis midyonim yishaleach. Right? Revolutions in his heart, choresh ra, somebody who's digging evil. Choresh is harisha, right? B'chol eis midyonim yishalea. I thought it was midonim, but it says midyonim. Every moment he sends midyonim. Whatever midyonim, I thought midyonim were kind of presents.
Midonim,
that's what I thought it was, but I don't know.
Here in the Sefer it says midonim.
Hu neged aholchei rachil. Somebody who is holchei rochil, somebody who starts spreading rumors. All right, let's see what he says with this. He says in the Sefer Madonna, he says, what sort of people are these? He says, these sort of people, nirim ka'ohavim, right, they seem that they are your friends, umishapchim la'ovim, and they turn into your enemies. Vahem chorshei ra li'Yisrael, and they actually are the people who, as it were, go and make evil for Israel. These are the enemies of your people. They may be your friends, but they turn out to be your enemies, the enemies of the Jewish people. And those who seek their evil, and that they already were asking for a destruction of the person. If somebody is claiming to be your friend, but is actually your enemy, then that's a different story. That's somebody who we're not going to tolerate. Which is an interesting thing.
We're not talking about people who could be Jews.
Yeah. This already is clearly
plain enemies.
Yeah, this is the anti-Semite, basically. Did I say this last week? A wonderful definition of an anti-Semite that I read in the last couple of days. G.K. Chesterton, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, an English author, who was a very famous anti-Semite. And he said the definition of an anti-Semite was somebody who hated the Jews more than absolutely necessary. Which is... I thought it was very, very smart, even though he's an evil man, right? And this is the point, you know, he was upfront about it. At least he said it the way it is. All right, anyway, it's a thought. There's a wonderful story from before the Second World War, that there were two Jews in Germany, and one was reading the regular paper, and one was reading the anti-Semitic Der Stürmer, right? So the guy reading the regular paper goes up to the other guy reading Der Stürmer and he says, what are you doing? He says, this is an awful paper. How can you read this stuff? He says, so the other guy says, listen. He says, in your regular paper, what does it say? He says the Jews are responsible for the downturn in the economy. The Jews are responsible for this. Jews are responsible for that. Blame the Jews for this. What do I read in Der Stürmer? I read that the Jews control the world. And I read that the Jews are in charge of the economy. And I read all the wonderful things about us. I prefer to read good things about us than bad things. Where do we get the good news sometimes? From the enemies. It's a terrible thing. It's so true. It's a funny story, but it really is true. So, again, what are we saying over here? That sometimes, you know, we'll find out things from the Oive Amcho. Sometimes we'll find out more from them than we care to know in certain cases. But that's just the way it is. The anti-Semit. Now, what is the next guy? The Hazedim. Who are the Zedim? Who Masha Omar Shlomo. B'chol eis medonim midyonim, we have over here, but he says here, medonim yishaleach. K'mo shekosa, as it says in the pasuk, bo zodon v'yovakolon. Yeah, when zodon comes on, presumptuousness, in other words, something which is amazing, something on purpose, then yovakolon, then shame comes along. What does that mean? U'kiyotse harbe be'ela. So he's saying the Zedim are the people who are doing things on purpose. Okay, how does he say it over here?
Same shorosh as Zedim.
Amazing. It really is. Zedim Meherim. And may all your enemies be cut down. So Zedim, he says here, are enemies. Which is not a great translation. Enemies are there. And humble the wanton sinners. Zedim, he says, are wanton sinners. People who sin, amazing. Right? Wantonly. Okay. And what's the next thing? Meherim Sa'akes. So now we've got three expressions. We've got Sa'akes, Sa'shabes, Sa'maga, which is a pretty major... destruction, right? And what do those three expressions mean? Literally, sa'ak is to uproot, sa'shaba is to break, and sa'maga is to smash in pieces. Okay, so he explains that. He says all of those expressions, the way the bracha works, nimshacha kulam, refers to all levels of what we've just been talking about. K'mo shekosav Shlomo, as Shlomo Melech says, al kein pitom yavo edo, because that's the last pasuk that he quotes. Suddenly his time will come, and he will be broken, and there will be no healing. Right, the people who perpetrate evil and do all these evil things, eventually they'll get their comeuppance. Okay, that's really what the expression. Do you say that in America? Comeuppance?
No.
You don't say that, but now you've heard it. Right, they'll get their reward, if you want to call it that. What does it mean? He says like this: the zeh ta'aker ha'aid. What does it mean? The aid that he refers to the time. Hu shenekar hasherish. All right, that means that that you're uprooted. Come over aid yalem in aris, because that's the pasuk in Bereishis. That a cloud came up from the earth, right? Sha'aid hu shorish alamayim. The aid is the source of water. Shemechusa ba'aretz is covered over by the earth, right? Kain aid harosha ba'eishahu misara. When the rosha stirs up, right? He brings, as it were, something up. Ke'ezrach ra'anan mechusa edo. He's covering his roots. And what we're saying is that the root of the rosha will be uprooted. Okay, that's the first thing that you're saying over here. Usashaber, what does it mean, Sashaber? Hu neged masha omar Shlomo peta yishaber, which is almost at the end of that passage. It's suddenly he will be broken. Pirish. Guv ha ilon shahu misare ke ezrach rana. Sorry, where are we? Guv ha ilon va anof of yishaber. Yeah, that the body of the tree and the branches will all be broken. Gamke. Usamage. Now, what samage mean? Pirish le peirurim ketanim. Shloyale marpe, right? There will be no healing. They'll be broken into small pieces. You'll never be able to patch them together again, even with the best glue in the world. Zeh shama shlomo ve'ein marpe. There is no healing. I remember hearing that the Alter Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, gave a different twist on this bracha completely. And I haven't got it in front of me because I couldn't find the sefer where this is, but he says that Bahazedi Mehero refers to the Yetzirah, right? And he says that the whole Indian here is not about people, but again, it's about the force of evil, as opposed to the people who perpetrate it. Because what's happened is we've jumped from the beginning of the bracha where it's Risha. As we said, it's the evil act to the people. And the Alter Rebbe doesn't seem to go for that. And he says Zaydim, I think he said, meant Yetzirah. Zaydim is the representation of something which wants to do you harm or cause you to do harm by doing sin. And that, he says, Mehera Ta'akes Shabbos Magah is trying to uproot it and to smash it into pieces that will have no influence on you whatsoever. And therefore, that's his take on the whole thing. But Sachnia Bimhera Biyomena, and to Sachnia, the idea of bring it to its knees, right? And to humble it completely. Which is obviously what we learn by the greats, right? We talk about Avraham Avinu was above his Yetzer. Even Eliezer apparently was in control of Sholeit B'Yitzro, whatever that means. I don't know how anybody can do that, right? It defies the imagination. Somebody will be so much in control that they'll never have this concept of Yetzer Hara, you know, pushing them in the other direction. It's a difficult concept because it means that free choice kind of doesn't exist. Right, once you do away with the Yetzer Hara, you don't have Bechira Chofshis anymore, it's gone. So the answer is that obviously with Avraham Avinu, it happened at the end of his life. And it happened with Eliezer as he was in the tracks of Avraham Avinu. And it happened with the Ovos, and it happened with the greats. But it's very rare. It's very, very, very rare. One of the spookiest stories is when they transferred somebody's grave to Eretz Yisrael a number of years ago. And they had to open up the coffin. This was a rabbi who'd been dead for a long time, maybe over 100 years, and they found the body intact. Very spooky. The body was totally intact. Now, they were sleeping there, Sheni Ofra, you know, hadn't decomposed. And I forgot now which gone it was. It wasn't the Vunagon, but they were transferring cemetery to Israel. And I heard this story, and it was a very spooky story. It might have been somebody from Hungary, and the concept is that the Yetzer Hara was so subdued that what happens after a person dies is that all of that kind of residue that you build up, the negativity, that's what destroys the goof. And if you could subdue it to the point where it's almost gone, right, then there was nothing to eat away at the goof once the goof is in the ground, and the goof remains whole. And this is a very spooky story. A number of people that has been claimed about, but I'm not sure. He might have been the Rebbe Lemelech, I'm not sure, because they might have had to do something in his grave. It's somebody like that. It's one of these real sort of tzaddikim gemurim, you know, somebody that one's heard of. I don't think it was Reb Nachum, but it was something on those lines. They never transfer. So I don't think it was the Noam Elimelech, but it was something. I don't remember, unless it was... who was killed in the Warsaw Ghetto? It might have been Piazetna, and there was also Rabbi Zemba was killed there. Nachum Zemba. It might have been something like that. It might have been in that scenario, or it might have been an earlier. Somebody from Hungary. I've got a feeling it was earlier than that. And they opened the grave. They opened the coffin was I don't know whether they intended to open it or not, I'm not sure. And they found the goof was completely intact. That's a pretty frightening experience. All right. Anyway, says the end of the post, end of the bracha. Baruch Ata Hashem, Shoiva Ovi Machnia Zedim. All right. He breaks the enemies and destroys, brings down the Zedim. And now we're going to understand what's the difference here. Hevdel Shebein Ovim LeZedim. What's the difference between the Ovim and Zedim? Who? The difference is as follows. Sha'ayev and Oseh B'Poel Mamish. The Ayev is not doing anything in practice, right? The Ein Dato Zecholam. Kim Libo Samech Beres Ma'Palasa Sha'ayev. All he wants to see is the downfall of his enemy. He's not really going to take a sword and destroy him or something like that. He just wants to see his enemy fall. What is the Zaydim? They're different. HaZaydim B'Dova She'Zodu Gova Libom Lahashkis. They actually want to perform the destruction. That's the difference between an oyev and oyvim and zaydim. Zayd, I suppose, is the singular. All right, lechein ama. That's why it says shove oyvim. We say to God, break the enemy. Shenishmar tikvosam levad, that their hope, their aspirations should be smashed. Avla zaydim machnia. With the zaydim, you've got to bring them down a peg. You've got them taken down a long way. Alright? Machnia ga'on levavam. Take down this pride in their heart. Ad ein marpe, till there's no healing. V'nichlal bebracha rishona. This, again, remember what the Rabbi Avraham ben Agon does is takes everything back to the first blessing. And he says that everything in the Amida has its root going right back into the first bracha of the Amida. And he says, where does this include in the first bracha? The birchas baruch. Sha'omar kodesh baruch hu al hageyos v'hazodon. Ein ani v'hu yicholim adur ba'olam echon. He says this is all included in b'birchas baruch sha'omar. Or is it baruch sha'omar or is baruch? Yeah. I wonder whether it's baruch sha'omar.
No, b'birchas baruch.
B'birchas baruch. Sha'omar kodesh baruch hu. We cannot live in the same world. I can't live with pride in the same world. V'kivan she'yichlu azeidim yispashe shema b'chol olam. Once Zaydim disappear, who pride themselves on their high position, then the name of God will spread throughout the world. Now, I'm not sure what exactly he's linking it to, whether it's just the word Baruch. Baruch, the idea is that from the word Baruch, the idea of Baruch is that God's reputation, God's influence should spread throughout the world. That's the idea of what Baruch means. And therefore, if we are praying for the downfall, the destruction of the Zaydim, that would lead the world to become more blessed, because the name of God would be more widespread. I think that's probably what he's saying here. I think so.
Well, Baruch, we
know. I don't know.
Because Baruch, we know, is not, I mean, it's not translated really correctly when we say it's blessed.
Baruch means makar bracha, means a source of blessing.
As in Brecha,
that's right. We said that right at the beginning. Because the idea of Baruch, to say that it means blessed, is wrong, because we can't, who are we to bless God? It's a kind of chutzpah to say, Baruch Atah, that we are blessing Hashem. It's the other way around. What we're doing is we're recognizing that God is a source of blessing. Alright, that's why to call a bracha a thank you is not always going to be true. Most people sort of think brachas are thank yous, and they're really not. What is Baruch Dynamis? You're not exactly thanking God for being a judge at a time of when somebody loses a relative. What Baruch normally means is that I recognize the din, I recognize what's happened, and I make a statement, of recognition. Baruch Atah Hashem, you're the source of Baruch, you're the source of blessing. Okay, sometimes it's difficult to know that that's going to be a blessing for the good, right? Everything should be for the good, but always we're going to have to be challenged to find the goodness in everything that happens, and that can be very difficult. What he's saying over here, though, the last part, I'm not quite sure what he's referring to. He seems to be saying clearly, however, that the bracha has got two essential components. It's essentially getting rid of the evil, not necessarily the evildoer, right? To a point where they are planning to better their own position at the expense of somebody else on an individual basis. What he will not tolerate, or what the bracha does not tolerate, is anyone who's going to do evil against Am Yisrael, Amcha. Then that's already where it's going to be. Then they've got to be destroyed. They've got to be cut off. They've got to be completely, as it were, pushed away. All right, and that's going to be the difference. What we don't have in our nusach is still the word minim. We've got rid of the minim. We've actually kicked that out. It's in the sefer.
You still got
the word minim, and in nusach Ashkenaz, because of the pressure to get rid of anything to do with any sort of Christological references, the word minim was completely booted out. Now, I don't know why it survived nusach Sfarim, because I would imagine that the pressures of getting rid of that nusach in the Polish Hasidic world was equally as strong.
No, I think just historically speaking, Nusach Sfarim really didn't come into being until the beginning of the 19th century.
Right.
And all of these censorships were much earlier.
They were early, yeah.
So I think the Nusach Sfarim just was a recapturing.
Came up afterwards.
Right.
Yeah. It's interesting to think that maybe one day we'll rewrite this bracha again. And we may go back to the Mishmodim and the Notzrim. Right? We may feel confident enough to be able to do it. I think the Muslimi will probably get a mention as well. Even though we're both monotheists, we're not exactly on the same page anymore.
Yeah.
Boy, did they go off the rails. Gee, isn't it ironic that was the one group of people we got on so well with? Spain, the golden age of Spain was with the Muslims. in control. That's when we really flourished.
They wrote in Arabic, everything. We always flourished in non-religious societies.
Right.
The golden age of Spain were very, very liberal Muslims.
They were very liberal Muslims.
And we flourished in very liberal Christian societies too. Yeah. That's why we flourished in the United States.
That's why we're doing so well today.
Right.
But it's an irony that the one group that we got on so well with for hundreds of years is now the most lethal enemy, not just of the Jews, but of the whole world. It's kind of a twist of history, which is really, really weird.
It's reverting back to character. It's Ishmael.
You can have a look at that on Pera Adam, and it's a pele that, you know, after hearing what's been going on the last 2 weeks in Iraq, where people all of a sudden make up the rules of war and you start putting up a white flag and then shooting at the enemy, right? You know, they seem to have no problem about doing that, and they've now got 4,000 suicide bombers. You think it's the latest thing? They're all lining up to blow themselves up in Iraq, right? I just wonder, you know, maybe that's a brothel for Israel, that instead of blowing themselves up in Israel, they go and blow themselves up there. It's not a blessing at all. It's a frightening thing. God, these lunatics, Mishagoyim.
They should all do it together at once.
They should all, that's yeah. Right. Maybe the plane should have been. They could do a real spectacle in the sky. Unbelievable. And that's Oyve Amcha. There's no question about that. That's the bracha. You know, when you say this bracha, you really got to think about it. I want to show you something. This is just a piece which is just on the basis of what we just said. What I like doing, I've become a big fan of I used to reduce things a lot. Now I blow them up to double the size, for obvious reasons. It's one of those things that just as what goes along. The art school just announced. The art school did a wonderful announcement that the Haggadah, the original Haggadah, which over the years has got more difficult to read, because it just kind of seems to get smaller every year. It's the same book. They brought a new version out, which is the same size but bigger print. At last, they realized that some of us guys who, have, you know,
you're English, but the best Haggadah ever put out. You're Canadian. There's a Maxwell House Haggadah.
Big print.
You have it. Big print.
Yeah.
You know,
wonderful.
Maxwell House was Canadian.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
There you go.
Wonderful. That's this. I've sort of increased a bit. Just have a look at the bottom section here, because this is something very interesting. What you should think about, you know, we're definitely including a whole bunch of characters here in this bracha. And again, I like the idea more about the evil than the evildoer, right? It always bothers me.
That's a basic concept, and we learned that from the very beginning by Oz Yashir.
Yeah.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, how can you say Shiro when Ma'aseh Yodai, Tavliyam?
Yeah, and you have to remember they are Ma'aseh Yodai, and that's sometimes very difficult, very difficult. What was a picture yesterday of a 10-year-old holding a machine gun in Iraq? That's Ma'aseh Yodai, look what's happening. And that kid stands next to you, give him a candy, he'll shoot you. That was in the Israeli army. They warned us when I did training that the most dangerous enemy, the 10-year-old in Lebanon, was carrying a gun. And they had it in Vietnam as well. It's just frightening. Frightening.
Some parade on the West Bank, they had a kid dressed up as a bomber.
It's
I want to be a bomber when I grow up.
It's just unbelievable.
If
I grow up.
It's all a direct result that their entire concept of Olam Haba is all Gashmias. So they have nothing to lose.
Yes.
They're going to a better world. Yeah. They don't see things. Yeah.
But I'm sure they must have some idea of spirituality. I mean, there has to be something. There's nothing there. It's going to be a physical...
$35,000 plus their family.
And plus the money. Yeah.
I mean, they're
versions.
Right. Yeah. Their whole thing is that Olam Haba is, you know, tables of food and 70 virgins. I mean, you know.
Yeah. It's sick, right? It really is. Oh, you're kidding. The guy who killed the Americans? They named the street after him? Have a look at this. This is something, the bottom section here. The top section is also interesting. What is this sefer? A sefer called Shiras David. I came across this at the YU book sale this year, looking for stuff on Siddur. There isn't very much on Siddur, unless you go for the originals. This is somebody called Rabbi A.D. Goldberg. I'm not sure who he is, but he lives in Wycliffe, Ohio. So presumably that's the Tells Yeshiva. Tells Yeshiva. And he's put together a commentary on the Siddur doesn't say, I don't know who is Haskomas, but no, he hasn't got any Haskomas, that's good. Always like a book without Haskomas, much better. But you don't have to be too influenced by what he writes. Couple of blank pages, which I'm very annoyed about, but I'll have to try and, maybe I should write and just send, get it changed. But what he does here, which is very interesting, is, it's not the first two, but it's a bit annoying. But what he's done, and he's looked at this Pirush of the Gra that we're learning, and he's tried to expand on it, all right, which is useful. So that's why I actually sort of took a like to this, because it's kind of extra work on what we're doing. But at the bottom here, it's even more than that. He brings like this on the second part here. Vazeidim mehera ta'akes shabbos magav v'sachnia. Kosa b'yaris devash. He brings the Yaris Devash. Now, I don't know who Yaris Devash is, but it's very early commentary. I'm not sure exactly who wrote the Yaris Devash. Or does it go back to that? Yeah. It's pretty early stuff. He says like this. Kisha Omer, that when a person says, Vahazeidim mehera sa'akir, yasim libo ala molek. Now that actually refers to a molek, which is an interesting thought. Sheba b'zodon al Yisrael, because he purposely came against the Jewish people. Misabe al riv lola, and got involved in an argument which wasn't really his argument. U'bezeh mekayim mitzvah sasei she'azachor she'asalech ha'amalek. That's interesting. Alright? Vazeidim mehera sa'akir she'shabbos magir. Who are the Zaidim? In fact, it refers to Amalek. There's no question about it, they've survived in one form or another. Okay? We're not really, you don't have to work too hard to find Amalek these days. Behine, Bashiras David, this is his commentary on Esther. Katavnu she'esh inya miyuchah ba'amalek, lahoragon b'misa m'shunav achzoris. Now this is very frightening. He says there's a mitzvah to kill Amalek in the most cruel way possible. And that's a very scary thought, because we've got to overcome the most incredible teva, right? By shonim, rachmonim, gomelech chasodim. And yet, when it comes to Amalek, we've got to put it all to one side. We've got to take a gun, or Shmuel HaNavi, take a knife, a sword, by Ishasef. We read it a few weeks ago.
Cut them in half.
I remember Nechama Levis teaching that pasuk. And she said, by Ishasef, you can hear the sword going through the air. Ishasef. Wonderful way she used to say it. You can hear the sword traveling, right? Onomatopoeia. Fabulous. Yeah, when she said it, you sat there, it also used to go like this. You started feeling your neck. She was funny. Anyway, she used to do this. She'd wind you up very often. She enjoyed doing that. It says like this. You've got to do it in that way. The Hevena B'Shem Rokeh. So this again, Rishonim. He brings in the name Rokeh, which is the Hatzos Machon Rav Hershler. So this is one of the interesting gentlemen in Israel today. Lefarish Masha Amar David HaMelech B'Tilim. What does it say in Tehillim? We say this every Shabbos. To Moses, Rosh Hashanah, Besone Tzadik Yeshama. Okay? Zeh Lashonah. What does that mean? To Moses, Rosh Hashanah, he should die badly. So it says, what does badly mean? But Misa Mishnah, in a different way of dying. Kamosha Matsina Ba'aga, he brings this, Ba'aga Sheshisefoto. Alright? That he sort of chopped it. And he cut him into pieces. Okay, pretty revolting thought. Ayin sham kala devarim. He name of what? Sheyesh reshaim shebaim bezodin ubegava neged Hashem. There are some evil people who are so presumptuous, are so full of haughtiness against God. Shetzrichim lahargam b'misa mashona. The only way to deal with them is to kill them in an unnatural way, v'achzoris, and in a cruel way. The Ayin Gam Yumas Samachtes, he says, Gemara in Yumas Samachtes Amadalav, Ma'ash also lekusim shezamu lahachri beis amikdash. There's a whole story there about the kusim. I don't remember the Gemara, but you can look it up. V'zeh she'onu mispalalim kan. This is what we daven here. She'oysam she'heim rak bebechinas oivim, yikoresem Hashem. The oyev is yikoresu. That is God's work. Alright? That's the oyev. God will take care of him. Aval oysam she'heim bichlal zeidim. What about the people who are Zaidim, Amalek, people who went out of their way to do evil to us? Kamo Amalek, Kedom Elohim, Mevakshim Anu Shalorak, Ya'akoro Sam, Elagam Yeshaber V'Yimageo Sam. You should break them. Dahainu Lepirurim Kedakim, into little bits, right? As we see in the Avnei Liyos, we saw in that commentary that we just read. Ki Bershoim Kamalekim Ukedome, Tzrichim La'abeda Shemom Legamri. We have to destroy their name completely. That's a pretty frightening piece of learning. But it seems to be that there is going to be one section of the population where we're going to have to put aside any sense of mercy whatsoever. And of course, what's the famous story in Tanakh of Shaul? What did Shaul do? He kept Agag alive for one day longer than he should have done. And he also took the animals, right? Remember the story. And he thought that was going to be Karbonus.
That's this... piece by Shashise. That's yeah. when Shmuel caught him on the road.
And that's
and
when
he
you,
asked him, what is it, what's that bleeping?
What do I hear?
What do I
the
hear?
The bleating, that's right. What do I hear? And I hear the animals. Right? And he sort of introduced him to this.
Says, oh, I really brought him for a carbono.
Yeah. I mean, the big question is, why did he keep him alive? Why did he actually leave him alive? And one suggestion which I read, which I thought was pretty interesting, is that, and you see this today, that the Middle Eastern mentality is that when you capture the king of an enemy, you show him off. Like they show off prisoners. You see that, what did they do last week on the TV? You show the prisoner immediately to the tzibur, because that's the way their mind works. And this is part of the Middle East. This is not any different in mentality in that sense. So what did Shaul do? He kept him alive for a day. You can have a parade. You can parade the king of the enemy. And then afterwards, you're going to do him in. But it was one day too long. And of course, what happened was that he managed to conceive a child with one of his maidservants overnight. All right, and then Amalek survived. And then, of course, what's Purim all about? Purim is where Esther, who descends from Shaul, has to be masakeh what Shaul didn't do because she has to kill Amalek. Right? Which is very interesting. It's kind of historical
that's why
progression.
Mordecai says that if you don't do it, your house and your father's house will be destroyed.
A little bit.
Because without the tikkun, that would be it.
And it's a tikkun. And of course, the thing there with Purim is that clearly it wasn't a total destruction of Amalek. They did a lot, but they couldn't do the whole thing. One of the Mephoshim says, how do we know? I mean, he says one of the miracles of Purim, which is not really appreciated, is the fact they went and killed 75,000 anti-Semites in Shushan alone, I think it says. Right? And there was no backlash. It's an incredible thing. Think about it. I mean, you know, this is like sort of, you know, don't bother with the war crimes tribunal. You just go and do lynch mobs. I mean, this is really what it was. And yet they got away with it, and there was no backlash. And a lot of the Nazis that were caught up in this were killed more or less straight away.
Yeah.
And it's still to a certain extent, but at least now it's being done. I mean, how much more there will be?
Now
it's already too late. It's too late. I don't know how many more trials there will be. I don't know. We've got time. One more item, the top item. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm just going to push it through. Let's just see how he handles that bit that we saw before about the Rishok Rega Tovei. Listen to this. Kosav Avnei Leo, Dezer Koel Anoshim She'enam Rishoyim B'tiva. Right? Just kind of review. It's not people who are wicked by nature. Avo Machmas Kinosam Mechavreim Ein Lehem Menucha. They have no peace because they're so jealous. Imlo Mizdami Lehem Behetze Yasub Issa. Okay, so he's paraphrasing what the Vilna Gaon, the son of the Vilna Gaon, wrote. Valeim Onum is Palimon. About these people we say, Sheyovedu achatayim velo achotim. That's what we said, right? That the sins, but not the sinner, should be destroyed. Kedisa bebrachas yitamu chatayim velo achotim. That's the quote from Gemara Brachas. V'chein tiknu b'tfilas Rosh Hashanah. Ah, and he says in Rosh Hashanah, v'chol harisha kula ke ashan tichle. Right? All the evil should go up like smoke. Velo tiknu lema v'chol osei risha. Not asking for the destruction of those who do evil, but it's the evil itself, the concept of it. The Kosa, and he writes, the second degree is people who seem to be your friend, but really they think of doing evil to Israel. So those are the ones that you want God to destroy. Now this is interesting. Now we've seen the perish of the Gaon, and now we're going to see how this Shiras David takes it and develops it. All right, the feed perusha. So now, according to what we've just learned, Nira, we will understand the order of the bracha. And I think this is a nice way of sort of bringing it all together. What we learned today, the seida hatefila holech b'hadrog. There is a stepping process here. The lamashinim. It starts off with the mashinim. Who are they? Hey manashim she'osim ra b'shvil she'choshen lasig ezer to'elus shel momen or kovad lasma. They're in it for themselves. They're not really in it to do you bad. They want to do that. They just want to better themselves. At anybody's expense, they'll tread on you, they'll tread on anybody else, but it's not the treading on you which is really the thing, it's their elevation, which is what they want. Alright? Now, ukashayiru, when they see, shalo yasigu mavakashasam, they won't achieve their desire, mimela yachsu b'tshuva. That's a nice thought, I hope it's true, that they will actually return, they'll repent. Alright? Is that really true? I don't know.
We'll see.
Stage one. What is stage two? The chol harisha. Anashim, Sheinam Ra'im B'tivam, as the Gaon said, they're not people who are evil in their own nature. Midos Lehem Lachta. They have bad qualities which cause them to sin. that evil which is in them should be destroyed. Alright, so those are second degree people who are not bad in their nature, but are nevertheless influenced by these bad qualities that they have. We pray to God, don't kill the person, but get rid of those bad qualities. Who are the third degree? V'chol oivecha, or v'chol oivei amcha. Heim anashim ro'im be'etzem. These are really bad people, right? Intrinsically bad. De'belibom hem chosheira, as he said from the pasuk. They dig evil, right? They're right inside them. U'smeichim hem b'mapalaseinu, and they rejoice in our downfall. Right, watching TV, when they burn Israeli flags, you don't have to go far to see people who are rejoicing in the downfall, God forbid, anything to do with Jews. V'haleim onu mispalim, and on those people we daven, sheyikarsu yikaresu legamre, destroy them completely. That's quite a major statement. De'ein lahem eitzah b'tshuva, there's no concept of tshuva then. V'haleim shori lispalo sheyikarsu she'ein lahem tikva lashuv, there's no hope that they will return. There are some people who sin sort of, you know, by chance, and they can separate. The sin becomes them. They become the chet, right? And here it's talking about Jews, I suspect. Maybe not Jews. I think he's talking about away from us. They become so evil that they're full of hatred. Now, I find this very, very relevant to the situation today. What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to sit back and let them hate us and not react in some way? I just don't know. So what do we fight back with? We fight back with tefillah. Anyway, we can't go and take a gun to these people. All right, we're not in a position to do so. There are some people who are in a position to do so, but we're not. And I don't think the taking to the gun to them is really what we're suggesting here. What we're suggesting is that in terms of tefillah, we have to appreciate that there'll be people in the world, not all the people who call themselves anti-Semitic, or all the goyim are anti-Semites, right? This kind of mentality is not true. But what you do have are different degrees of evil. And as you go through this pasuk, this bracha, you find that the bracha goes into deeper and deeper degrees of evil. The malshinim, we want that they shouldn't succeed, and they should do tshuva. Then you've got the risha, which is in the heart of the people who are not in their nature so evil, but they have bad qualities. So that those bad qualities you want to be done away with, so that they will also come back, right? They will change their ways. And then finally, ayvecha meheri yikaresu, those are the ones that the evil, they become the evil. It's not, they're no longer the difference between the chet and the chota, because the chet is the chota. They become so imbued with evil, with hatred, there's no going back on guys like that. And they're the guys that you say yikoresu, that's the ones that you want to destroy. And the only thing which I end off with is the famous Balaturim. We've said this once, maybe not, but we should have said it. Parshas told us. But the Balaturim, at the end of Parshas, one second, let me just read this, because this is...
Over there to the left.
And if you don't know this one, this is something just to bear in mind of what's going on at the moment. Because this is a pillay ploim, like they always are, but this one is really a pillay ploim. Because I never really thought of it like this. Balaturim says, what does the end of Chai Sora end with? Al panei kol echav nafal. He fell before all his brothers, referring to Yishmael. And then it goes on to the next parasha, the Eile told us Yisuf ben Avram. Right, you know this. So what does the Balaturim say? He says the most frightening thing. Nafal. He says, what happens is, he says like this. He says that, hang on, one second, where are we?
Doesn't Rashi say in that passage that he did
tshuva? That's the Ibn Ezra. It says he did tshuva. The Balaturim doesn't go for this. Balaturim says, Al panei kol echav nafal, v'samech lei v'eile todes Yitzchak, lomar, k'she yipol Yishmael ba'achris ayomim, Yishmael falls in the end of days, Az Yitzmach ben David u'metodes Yitzchak. That's when Mashiach comes. Boy, are we getting close? Woo! Are we getting close?
It says somewhere else that Yishmael is going to hold the world hostage.
And it's... Right. Do you want to look at it? He quotes a Yalkut Shimoni, Chelik Aleph Remez Ayin Tes, section 79. Worth a look. That is a frightening.
Says,
frightening.
people keep the world hostage. That's what they said the oil embargo was.
And keep that going. But look what he says, Kishi Yipo. Right? Maybe we're almost at that point. I don't know how. I mean, America is trying to do something about it, but
we'll make it time for Pesach.
Is it going to be in time?
I'd much rather spend it in Yerushalayim than Orlando.
It would be a nice thought. Anyway, I think that's certainly something worth thinking about, especially now at this point in time. Halavai, b'chol oivecha mehera yikareisu. That's really something to think about. Amalek and everybody that goes with me. Special stuff. All right, Shkar, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay.